Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today, our sermon is titled Reality Check Ahead. And we're going to be focusing on the story of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. I know this sermon is meant for you, those of you here today, those of you listening, and those of you watching. I know it is for you. In addition, it is for you, fathers, for you, stepfathers, grandfathers, for you, the spiritual fathers, for you, the absent fathers. Yes, you too. It is for you, surrogate fathers, father figures. It is for you, the mothers who have stood in the place of fathers. It is for you. It is for you, fathers who are no longer in the picture. And of course, it is for you, fathers to be. Yeah. And as we join with heaven, as we celebrate fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day, as we celebrate you today, I trust that this message will help you live out more of who God has created you to be. Many of you will know the story, the main points in the story of Jonah. Our sister Anne touched on it earlier on. And even if you haven't heard it preached recently, you know, Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. The Bible talks about big fish, or children's Bible or children's stories will say the whale. Yeah, although the scripture doesn't specifically use the word whale. You know, it's like the fruit in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't call it an apple. Yeah, people say, oh, the apple. It's neither here nor there. I wasn't there. You know, I didn't test the fruit to see what it was. So, you know. So talking about whether or not it was a whale, you know, over the centuries, many have discussed and debated. Some have tried to prove it is. Some have tried to disprove the Bible, particularly using science. People will try and rationalize what they read in the scriptures and say, well, let's think about that. What does that really mean? You know, trying to use facts. And there's nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, God calls us to use our minds, correct? Correct? You know the Bible text where Jesus said you love God with your heart, your soul, your mind. Matthew 22:37. So it's a falsehood when we're told that God doesn't expect us to reason. God doesn't expect us to think. You know, it's just your spirit. That's just silly. I think that's very shallow theology. He wants us to think deeply. He doesn't expect us to come to him as empty-minded shells, empty-minded puppets. He wants us to reason things out. However, as people of faith, I really wish it was the other way around. I really wish we lived in a society, an environment where we could use the Bible to prove science, not using science to prove the Bible. You know what I mean? I really wish it was the other way around, where we say, you know, my faith says it's so, and science, wow, science, well done for catching up. You know, but we do it the other way around. Oh, if science says it, then the Bible must be true, which is a little bit of a shame. Now, many people, I'm sure, thinking about the whole science thing, we've heard the situation where some people will say about the Red Sea, you know, just the whole science thing. They said, oh, you know, the whole Israelite thing and the Red Sea, you know, I know you may have heard it years and years ago. They said, oh, at the place where they crossed, you know, the water couldn't have been more than 2 feet deep. So we don't know what all these Christians are talking about. You know, Moses parted the Red Sea. The water was only 2 feet deep anyway. They could walk through. And for a minute, literally 60 seconds, the Christians were like, what? Oh no, this is so sad. What they're saying means it's like our Bible isn't true. And then all of a sudden the Christians realize, hold on. The water was 2 feet deep. So all of those men and all of those horses, all of those trained warriors, those trained combatants, those trained soldiers drowned in 2 feet of water. Hallelujah! Whichever way you want to play this, God's at work. It's a miracle. Do you know? So don't be trying to bring your science to try and disprove my Bible, if you understand what I mean. So there was a counter in that regard. So similarly, over the years, there's been this issue about, you know, some people saying it's a big fish, it's not a whale, because after all, you know, whales are vegetarians or pescatarians. They don't eat meat, they're not carnivores. What are all these Christians talking about? What are these people doing? Obviously, yes, the Bible doesn't categorically call it a whale. But how does it all work? In science, this whole, could it be a whale? You know, and as I was preparing for this sermon today, as I was preparing, 10 days ago, something happened, and it was in the news. There we go.
Home against the odds. After surviving an ordeal straight out of the storybooks, fisherman Michael Packard was diving for lobster 45 feet down in Cape Cod when his day took an unexpected turn.
I was just about at the bottom, and I just felt this truck hit me, and everything just went dark, and I could just feel just hard stuff all around me, like. And I just thought, did I just get eaten by a white shark? And then I said, no, I don't feel any teeth. And I said, oh my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale.
In fact, it was a humpback whale. And for 40 seconds, Michael was stuck in its mouth.
He's swimming, and I could just be in his mouth, and he's swimming, and I'm like, this is how you're going to go, Michael. This is how you're going to die.
Losing hope, he thought about his boys and the rest of his family.
All of a sudden, I saw light, and I just could feel his head shaking, and I just got thrown out of his mouth into the water. There was just white water everywhere.
As his friend pulled him into the boat, he was in serious pain and thought the whale had broken his legs. In fact, he'd dislocated his knee and had other soft tissue injuries, but was otherwise unscathed. For son Jacob, a text from his mother was an unexpected interruption to lessons.
Your dad was diving and a whale attacked him, ate him.
Luckily, the whale decided it didn't want Michael for breakfast after all, and he's already thinking about when he can dive back into work. Emma Birchley, Sky News.
So somebody wants to tell me a whale can't swallow a person. Go watch Sky News. In fact, if you go on YouTube, because I found that clip on YouTube, if you go on YouTube, there's some where someone's in a paddle boat and the whale just, because the whale, big mouth, is trying to swallow fish. It'll swallow anything in its path. This stuff is possible. Anyway, let's get to the text. You know, earlier on, Anne very kindly gave us a bit of a recap. You know, God told Jonah, tell these people, go to Nineveh, tell them I'm going to deal harshly with them. And instead of doing that, he flees in the opposite direction. He's afraid, of course. He was scared. You know, Jonah decided to follow the 11th commandment. And some of you know I've talked about the 11th commandment many times. You know what the 11th commandment says? The 11th commandment says, God has said his bit, you go do what you want. That's the 11th commandment. You know, so Jonah decided, you know, I'm going to just do what I want. I'm not going to follow what God has said. And like everybody who follows the 11th commandment, eventually he got into trouble. He got swallowed by a big fish. And then, you know, while he was in there, he was like, oh, Jonah, this is how you're going to go. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, like this guy, oh, I'm really sorry. Oh, no, I should have done the right thing, you know. And so he went back, he told them this, you know. And then instead of God judging them, the people repented. The people escaped God's judgment. God had spared them. And this guy wasn't happy. You know, at the point we come to in our text, Jonah was absolutely frustrated. He was angry. He was irritated. And that's quite natural, isn't it? You know, and sometimes we get like that, don't we? We get to a point where we expect things to happen a particular way, and they don't. But when we get there, it is best for us to pause, for us to take a beat, take a breath, for us to just reflect. It's time for us to have a reality check. So all I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you three things. I'm going to point out three things from Jonah's experience that we can do when we're performing our own reality check. So number one, when performing a reality check, it is important that you check your attitude. Check your attitude. Yeah? You know, verse 1 of our text helps us understand this guy was upset. Jonah was angry. And some people might argue that, yeah, he had the right to be angry. After all, you know, with the things he had been through, it's understandable that he was upset. I mean, you know, he went through all of that stuff for those people, and they didn't get what they deserved. So I can understand that. I can understand that. It happens to us as well, you know. You know, we may have done things. We've rationalized our situation, and we felt, actually, no, it should have gone the other way. That's what was going on for Jonah. This guy, of course, he knew God was a God of mercy. He knew he was a God of justice as well. And even though his experience was caused by his own disobedience, he had been through so much because of these people. This guy had faced drowning. He had faced death because of these people to bring them this message. And for him, when they repented and God did nothing, it's as if it's all for nothing. It's as if all of that was for nothing. I went through that trauma for nothing. And you know, it's easy for us to assume a level of self-importance when we're in situations like this. Jonah was displeased with God. And a lot of that was about his emotions, not about God per se, not about what God was doing, not about God's sovereign plan. It was about his own emotions. Listen, Jonah was a prophet. And in the days of Jonah, how did people know whether you're a good prophet or a bad prophet? You were a good prophet when what you said came to pass. If what you said didn't come to pass, you were dodgy. Simple as that. Jonah said to them, God's coming to kill you. And what did God do? God didn't kill him or kill them. So as far as Jonah was concerned, it's like, thanks, you've ruined my reputation. You've ruined it for me. You messed it up for me. And so he was upset. His prophecy hadn't come to pass. What were people going to think about him? His reputation was in tatters. Well, he was thinking about these things. And those thoughts affected his attitude. And that affected him. You know, somebody once described attitude, said attitude is like a smell. It's like a smell. Bad attitude is like a bad smell. You know it's there. You can't hold it. You can't throw it out. But you know it's there. You know. And that's what the kind of attitude that Jonah had. In fact, let me say this one. There was a joke some children played on their dad. Their dad would fall asleep. This is in America. Their dad would fall asleep in the sun. And they put cream cheese on his mustache. And eventually this man woke up and he was like, I could smell something a bit off. And he said, you know, this room smells. So he went into a different room. He's like, oh, this room smells as well. He went in the kitchen. The kitchen smells. You know, I just need to go in the garden. And he went out in the garden and he could smell. And the children were laughing. What are you laughing at? You know, and it was like, oh, the whole world smells. Without realizing the smell was on him. And isn't that how it is when we have an attitude? We overlook the potential part that we could have played. We're looking at the whole world. We're not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at ourselves. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12, he said, therefore, let any man or anyone who thinks he stands immune from temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. Let him who thinks he stands take care, take heed, lest he fall. And so many times, so often in our lives, we get into this self-righteous, I know what I'm doing, I'm okay. And Paul, in this verse, was warning. He's warning that, you know what, even though your fingerprints might not be on one side of the story, check the other side. There's a possibility you have done something. And so checking your attitude sets you up to be better aligned with what God is doing for you, in you, around you. Because your attitude can affect your assumptions. And that takes us to the second thing. So when performing a reality check, you need to check your attitude, but you also need to check your assumptions. Check your attitude, but check your assumptions. You know, Jonah was angry. This guy was vexed. We've established that. He was upset. And the man was, thinking about anger, on a psychological basis, when someone is getting angry, or when we're angry, it's usually founded on a sense of righteousness. When you're angry with someone, you feel right. You feel right. And they're wrong, or somebody is wrong. Something else is wrong. So certain assumptions are made, particularly about ourselves, particularly about the other person. When we're angry, we assume that our stance is the right one, is the correct one. We assume we have the right to take the position. We assume an injustice has occurred. We assume we have the right to be heard, in some cases, by the person who has done the wrong. The thing is this, an assumption is just an assumption. It's not fact. It's an assumption. And because it's an assumption, there's a possibility that there's another version. There's another side to be considered. You know, the story is told, assumptions, right? The story is told, and you may have heard this, you know, I mean, I first heard this maybe 20, 25 years ago. The story is told, you know, I come from Africa, yay, Nigeria, yay. The story is told that, you know, centuries ago, a man was sent to Africa to sell shoes. You heard that story, right? You know, when he got there, he went over the ship and he went to sell shoes. And after 3 months, he sent word back and he said, oh, this place is so hot. It's a God-forsaken place. I don't even know what to do. You know, these people don't wear shoes. Please send me home. You know, so they were like, oh, okay, fair enough then. So they sent him home and they sent somebody else to take his place. After 3 months, the other guy said, oh, this place is so hot. I mean, it's a God-forsaken place. I don't even know what to do. These people don't wear shoes. Please send more shoes. Can you see the attitude? The first man said, these people don't wear shoes. There's no point selling them shoes. The second one says, these people don't wear shoes. Send more shoes. He saw the potential. He saw a potential to do something. Do you understand the analogy? He saw that potential. And oftentimes, we're not looking at the big picture. We're not looking at the full picture. We're looking through very narrow lens at our own perspective. You see, Jonah in verse 2, look what he says to God. He says, is this not what I was saying when I was still at home? That's why I had to run away. You know, I had to run to Tarshish. In some regards, Jonah is saying to God, didn't I tell you so? I mean, the guy's got guts, right? He's telling God, didn't I tell you so? to God. Bruv. That's why whales swallow you with that kind of attitude. He assumed he had the right to tell God how this thing was supposed to play out. Maybe he was a prophet. So maybe he got so used to prophesying to people, he now thought he could prophesy to God. I told you this wasn't going to happen, or this was going to happen. Jonah needed to check his assumptions. In your own life journey, what assumptions have you been making? What seems to have gone wrong or seems to be going wrong? What situation are you facing that you need to do a reality check on? And as you perform this reality check, remember to check your assumptions. We all must. Now, it's not just checking our attitude, because just as checking our attitude sets us up for alignment with God's purpose, when we check our assumptions, it sets us up for the possibility of a new or a different outcome. And that takes us to number 3. You check your attitude, check your assumptions. Number 3, check your assignment. Always check your assignment. You know, in athletics, 4x100-meter race, it's simply 4 people, 4 athletes, each running 100 meters around a circuit. You know, 4x100, simple, right? And whichever team crosses the finish line the fastest wins, right? We all know how 4x100 works, correct? Good, okay. Remember London 2012, yeah? Not just did we have the Olympics here, which was great, fabulous, but, you know, our brother, Usain Bolt. Remember that one? Trust me, you know, as the Olympics were going on, this is the thing, you know, it's like World Cup, right? Earlier on, I told you, I come from Africa, yay, Nigeria, yay, you know. And the Olympics were going on, we're looking for all the Nigerians. We're like, okay, you have to scroll to page 3 to find the Nigerian athletes. You know, the Americans are there on page 1, the Jamaicans are there on page 2, the Canadians are there. You know, we're like, scroll, hey, brother, you know. So eventually what's happening, oh yeah, the Nigerians were on the flight back home, no problem. But remember the final, the 4x100 meter, trust me, all of England was Jamaican. Trust me. They're like, yeah, Usain, my brother. You know, we were ready for that man. And what did he do? He brought home the gold. Remember it. He won that record. Well, he broke the record, wasn't it? 3 golds in athletics at the Olympics. Now, something really special. Each of those athletes only focuses. Yes, they're there for the whole race. But each person only focuses on their 100 meter bit. They're not thinking about what the other guy is going to do and what the other guy is going to do and what the other guy is going to do. None of them was thinking, I wonder how Usain's going to run at the end. Figure out how you're going to run at the start. They were trying to figure out their own race before trying to assess somebody else's race. And that's the thing. There are some things, I learned this many years ago, there are some things that are above your pay grade. There are some things that are outside the scope of your involvement. Sorry to burst your bubble, not everything is your business. It's the truth. Not everything is. On social media, everything is everybody's business. Everybody has an opinion about everybody. That's why I add me on Facebook. I use Facebook. You add me on Facebook, I might not see your friend request for 3 weeks or 3 months. I actually discovered somebody I went to secondary school had added me in 2018. I was like, sorry, I don't live on social. I live in Pollard's Hill. You understand? So have you checked your assignment? Or are you checking somebody else's exam paper while waiting for yours to be marked? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, Jesus posed this question. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You see, Jonah's assignment was simply to go and deliver a message to the people of Nineveh. He simply had to be the courier. Just go deliver the package. What was in the package was none of his business. It was outside the scope of his concern. It was above his pay grade. Instead, he started overthinking the assignment. And the more he overthought it, the more he put himself in the picture, the more he took it personally when things didn't suit his perspective. You know, the story is told, and I'm sure, you know, another illustration, somebody said, oh, you know, how we deal with challenges. And this person put three pots of water on the fire. You know what I'm going to say? Put three pots of water on the fire. In one of them, they put some potatoes. Was it potatoes? Yes. In the other one, they put an egg. And in the third one, they put coffee. It's boiling water. Obviously, you know how it works. After a while, you take it off the hot water and you look at it. The one in which you put the potato went in hard, but it came out soft. The one in which you put the egg went in soft. It came out hard. But the third one in which they put the coffee, the coffee changed the water. How are you dealing with your assignment? How are you dealing with the situation? Is it making you softer? Or is it hardening you up? Or are you influencing your world? Are you influencing your situation? You know, imagine if the egg decided it wanted to infuse with the water. Imagine what that would be useful for. So know your own assignment. Know how you're supposed to come out of this. So don't focus on somebody else's race. Focus on yours. Jonah made a massive mistake. He wrongly thought that maintaining his reputation as a man of God was more important than maintaining his character as a child of God. And how many times have we done this? We put reputation above character. That was Jonah's mistake. Jonah was thinking, what are they going to say about me? Not thinking, what does God know about me? And so to this end, he misunderstood his assignment. He made the wrong assumption based on his attitude. You know, saints, there's always a risk that we too, just like Jonah, we put too much reliance on the gift instead of putting reliance on the giver. And it's a costly error to make. Yes, it's true that you've been provided for, but having provision is not the blessing. The real blessing is not having the provision. The real blessing is having the provider. That's the real blessing. The real blessing in your life is not you having the provision. It is you having the provider. You know, God wants us to do the work with him. Is that it? Yeah, there it is. God wants us to do the work with him. The problem is that we tend to think we're so good. You know, and God is really impressed with us. He's impressed with our skills. But the reality is, if we're really honest with ourselves, we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case. We know that it is only by the grace of God that we are nearly good enough. Because in truth, we probably don't love the way we should love. We probably don't care the way we should care. We probably are not as polite as we should be. We don't give as much as we should. We don't understand grace in the way that we should. And we won't. We never will until we can get over ourselves. Get over ourselves. And you know, the truth is, when we start to do that, God steps in. He sends us out on a mission. Like us. I talked about the community fund day coming in August. God is sending us out into the community to be a witness, to see conversion in our community, conversion in our neighbors. But by doing that, by obeying, by stepping in humility into his mission, that conversion starts to happen in us. It starts to happen in us. That phrase, blessed to be a blessing. You want to be blessed? Be a blessing. Make room for it in your life. You're never going to reap what you didn't sow. You sow blessings, it will come back to you. God used Jonah. Why did God use him? What, because, you know, I don't know, God didn't have a choice. God couldn't find another prophet. Of course he could. He used Jonah because in the same way that God was working on the sailors in that ship, in the same way that he was converting the people of Nineveh, he was working on Jonah's heart. And if you read the whole of the story of Jonah, chapter 4, it concludes with God taking Jonah on a journey far beyond his anger, far beyond his self-righteousness, far beyond his rebellion, beyond his nationalism, beyond his discriminatory attitude to the people of Nineveh, for the purpose of making Jonah the man he was always meant to be. So it's my heart's desire for you that as you two perform your reality check, looking at your attitude, looking at your assumptions, looking at your assignment, that you too will experience God and he will take you beyond any self-righteousness. He will take you beyond any pain, any self-justification. He'll take you beyond pride, beyond anger. He'll take you beyond your mistakes, beyond your rebellion, so that you too will be the person that he has created you, configured you, and called you to be. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.